Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Our next guest, Matthew Casalotto, known as the Podium Pro in terms of speaker education, but he has a lot of very interesting ideas for reforming politics. And want to talk to him about a few of those now. Hello, Matthew. How are you?
Hey, Jack. Doing great. Well, thanks for having me.
Wanted to talk a little bit about one idea that we mentioned previously, and that is the underrepresentation in terms of Congress and how population has swelled, though the number of elected representatives has not, and it's changed a lot of things.
Well, I think it has, and you know, we did have a brief conversation, Jack, about it. And just to recap a little bit, the founding fathers in the Constitution and in the Federalist Papers make it pretty clear that after every census, every 10 years, there will be a census, and we'll find out if the population's grown or something else, you know, whatever, they keep track of the population. Mm-hmm. And the idea was if it has grown, then the House of Representatives would increase to make sure the representation would keep pace with the population. And for about 130 years, I think it is, every 10 years for 13 cycles, the census led to an increase in the House. In some cases, the House increased maybe 50 seats or 30 seats, depending on how many they decided to increase it. But that stopped abruptly.
When did that stop?
The last time it was increased, when we reached 435 with the current membership, was in 1911, right after the 1910 census.
So for 99 years, we've had 435.
Yeah, you basically rounded off 100 years, about a century. We've stayed stagnant. The representation in the country has been, you know, flatlined, basically, at 435. And yet the population has gone from about 100 million to 310 million, you know, three times the size. And you would have thought that maybe at some point the House would decide to increase, as they used to do. That was the rule. In fact, you could argue, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but some have made this argument, that it would require a constitutional amendment to keep the cap at 435, and they just did it by statute. I think it was in 1929. There was a statute that decided, you know, basically there was a debate and a law passed to cap it at 435, and there was a debate. And some members of Congress said, as we should be saying now, what's so magic about 435? That's an arbitrary number. Mm-hmm. There's no reason. But we've all grown up with our civics classes and our textbooks and the media, and we think that it's 435 somehow is mandated by the Constitution or something, but that's just not the case. We could increase it, you know, every 10 years. We could add 50, add 100 representatives if we wanted to.
We are creatures of habit, and I can imagine some people right now driving off the road saying the last thing we need to do is increase the size of Congress. Good grief, they should do away with it, some people are saying. And if you expand the membership, I imagine there are even members of Congress who would see their individual influence diluted. They would think it's going to be much more crowded, and you know, they want it to be not like the Senate, but certainly not a group with 600-700 people.
Right. Well, I think, you know, I've been thinking, what's a good argument for increasing the size of the House? And one of the best I can come up with is the fact that most members of the House would be against it. So that, you know, if you want to make a good argument, say, wait a minute, if they're against it, maybe we should consider this. Because, you know, you're right. Each individual member of Congress might be opposed to it because it would diminish their individual power or influence. But then you have to look at it from the point of view of the population, the voters. What's the point of having representation if you don't have access to the representation? If you right now we're going to have 700,000 people per representative, per
right.
congressperson.
Right.
If you can't get in the door, and the only people who get in the door are the lobbyists
sure.
and the moneyed interest, then we ought to be thinking seriously about let's have more elected representation. That's what we need more of, is not less representation. We need more of it.
Well, in terms of representation, obviously, the more representatives you had, the better that ratio would be. But for a lot of people, it doesn't matter because they don't feel relevant to the process anyway, and they don't vote. You have an idea about that as well.
Well, there are several ideas. One of them is really a simple fix, and I wish people would take it seriously. There have been efforts over the years to do this. Make a national holiday on Election Day. And that way you say to the country and the world that we value voting and we encourage people to vote. So we're going to give you the day off. You know, we have a holiday on July 4th, which is great. We celebrate the birth of the nation. Let's celebrate the democracy that we have and encourage people to vote. And if we're going to have elections on a work day, on a Tuesday, which is a little bit kind of old-fashioned. There's no particular reason for it to be on Tuesday. If we're going to keep it there and we not have it on weekend like many countries now do it on Saturdays and Sundays, have voting, then make it more convenient. They have higher turnouts throughout Europe because they usually have weekend voting. But let's do it on Tuesday. That's fine, but make it a national holiday, and then we can send the signal that we really do want you to get out and vote, and kids would learn that lesson. They wouldn't go to school. Maybe they have time to go vote with their parents. This would be a great lesson in civic participation.
When people hear about the I Promise to Vote campaign, do they say, Consolato's at it again? I mean, first he wants to increase the size of Congress, and now he wants to cut down the national productivity by giving everybody the day off.
Well, it would be once every 2 years, because it's a federal election. Like now, the midterms coming up in November, mm-hmm. So it'd be once every 2 years, and then the presidential election. I think we could probably afford it. I don't have a proposal to get rid of one of the other holidays, but I think we could afford it. If we fight wars over democracy, why don't we take the day off and really get people to vote? I think it would just be a nice idea to encourage voting.
You know, I think you just hit on something, Matthew, when you talk about other holidays. We have added holidays.
We have.
Over the years. So you can't say, well, it's the way it's always been done, the way that they say that about the size of the House of Representatives. Number one, that isn't mm-hmm. the way it's always been done. And number two, if you can increase the number of holidays, you can increase the number of congressmen, women, and you can also increase the number of holidays.
Right. Yeah, I think you can. I don't think there's any. It's not etched in stone. You can have a holiday if it's something you value. The Congress could certainly encourage voting. We always go through this discussion about the registration and same day registration and make it easier for people to vote. I think that's all wonderful. But why not just make it a holiday? Because that would really send a signal and give people time. A lot of people, probably at the lower end of the economic spectrum, by and large, maybe have two or three jobs. They've got pick up kids at daycare or at their in-laws, and they get back from work, and it's 7 o'clock, and they get in line to vote, maybe, and it's a long line. There are all kinds of problems with doing it on a Tuesday when people have a lot of other things to do. So why discourage voting? I guess that's the big question in terms of the values in our country. We supposedly value participation in voting and democracy and representation, all these things. Well, let's put that to the test. There was a values voter summit, I think it was called, in
Washington, D.C., right.
There's a values voter summit. Why don't we have a value voting summit and have we're going to value voting by encouraging participation through an election and also the voting system itself. That's a longer discussion, Jack, but a lot of people do feel kind of left out because, if we have two parties in our, for a country of 310 million people, one of the lessons I learned years ago, I went to Denmark, mm-hmm. and there was an election coming up. They had, I think, 11 parties represented in their right. small parliament.
Very different.
Called the Folketing.
Yeah.
In proportional voting. So if you have 10% of the electorate, you can still have representation in the parliament. Why shouldn't we be at least considering, I'm not saying we do what Denmark does exactly, but consider other kinds of voting systems that are more modern. What we have is an infrastructure for our democracy that was inherited 3-4 centuries ago, and we haven't updated it.
A lot of ideas to consider. Matthew, your website again is?
ThePodiumPro.com.
ThePodiumPro.com. You can check that out, and a lot of very interesting ideas.
Matthew, we'll talk some more.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back, and hope to be joined by 7th District Congressman Mark Schauer, coming up next on Ebling & You.